Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Welcome to Indiana Basketball After the Game with Todd Leary. Brought to you by Endeavor Hospitality's WOW Network and Andy Moore Honda, Bloomington's number one Honda dealer. Now, let's get to the action with Todd Leary and special guest.
Welcome aboard. Hey, Jim Coyle with you tonight. Todd Leary as well. Hope you guys are having a good evening. Unfortunately, it was not a good one for Indiana as they traveled up to Piscataway to take on a team that's become the kryptonite for this Indiana basketball team, Todd Leary. I don't know what it is, but if you would have told me 5 years ago that in 5 years Indiana will not have a losing streak to Purdue, they will not have one to Michigan or Illinois, but they will have one that is – how long is it now? 8 games? 7 games?
Too many.
Rutgers. Trayce Jackson-Davis has not beaten them yet. Which you get one more shot at, I guess. But Indiana goes down to Rutgers on the road tonight at Piscataway, 63-48 in pretty dominant style. They didn't leave much doubt, did they?
No. I mean, you know, my first big picture reaction is, I put it on the screen there, it's just, let's relax. We didn't expect them to go undefeated in the Big Ten. I didn't expect them to lose this game, but we didn't expect them to go undefeated. So now they've just got to win a game that might have been iffy. But the you know, I don't want to say it's the scary part, because I do think this team's pretty tough, but they just got out physical. And if you're going to learn something from a game like this, you know, it's – the younger guys, although Schifino didn't play, or Jalen didn't play, so he's not really going to learn anything. But the Big Ten is just different. Like, you try to explain it over and over again to, like, other conferences, like people in the Big 12 or even North Carolina in the ACC. The Big Ten's just different. It's physical. You saw how Indiana looked. They looked out of sorts the entire day. I can't name an offensive possession where they looked comfortable. They didn't even look comfortable getting the ball across the 10-second line. So just from the beginning, you know, things started bad, and they never – Indiana never was able to, like, put the ball on their hip and take a deep breath and relax and get things moving. The whole time you just had Rutgers defenders all over you, and, you know, you could tell the frustration on – look at the frustration on Xavier and Trayce Jackson-Davis. We don't see that very often from those two guys. Xavier maybe a – little bit, but he was frustrated in a whole different way tonight. So, you know, big picture, my take from it is, I mean, they lost a road game in the Big Ten. That's not, you know, unheard of. But, you know, we think this team's different, which I still think they're different. I think they're better. I think they're not like teams that we've had in the past. And so, you know, I'm not, like, jumping off the ship yet, but and I won't. I don't mean yet. I won't jump off the ship.
you dirty rat.
They're good.
You know what? This is not going to make Rutgers season, but, you know, they've been waiting for this game. If you don't think they've been scouting Indiana, watching that game, I'm like, man, they were calling out. It's like if this was football, they're calling out the plays at the line. They knew what was coming, but the defense, did they give everybody else a blueprint for how to defend this team on from the inside out? Because Indiana has been so dominant in the paint, scoring 50 points in the paint against North Carolina. And tonight, that was not the case. Paint points for Indiana this evening, 14. Six. Yeah. No, it's bench points. Paint points, 14, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know – even with the way this game went, okay, and this is what's so much fun about college basketball and Indiana basketball, is even with as bad as everything's were throughout the whole time, Xavier Johnson had 2 3-point shots in the air wide open to cut this to a 6 and a 7 point lead pretty late in the second half. If those shots go in, this is a different, I'm not saying Indiana would have won. I'm saying the end of the game would have been different, and they might have won. And you had, you know, this is what happens in the Big Ten a lot. Like, had the kid from Rutgers, Simpson, not played the way he did in the second half, we probably would never know his name. But because he did that in this game, he's going to be talked about, and his confidence level just skyrocketed. So that's a young player for them that, you know, yeah, it made his season. It probably changed his season and turned it around. And Indiana didn't have anyone that did that. Anyone didn't have anyone that played well. I mean, who would you pick as a player game in this game? Miller Kopp, obviously, because he made a bunch of shots. But other than that, this was just this was a frustrating game for Indiana. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for this group to have a frustrating game right now. They get to go back to the drawing board.
I stepped away from the game at the last couple of minutes just to prepare for the show, and I did not know that TJD fouled out, but I knew that stat that he had not fouled out in 101 games. So that's, first of all, that was an incredible stat. I can't believe he didn't foul out in the damn game the other night where they were calling everything. But
I think he tried to foul like that. I think that last foul he got right there at the end of the game, that it was an illegal screen. I'm pretty sure he did that on purpose. Like, he knew he was fouling out. Like, it wasn't any big shock to him. And that's not a stat like you don't care about. As a player, you don't care about that stat and fouling out. I mean, you'd have cared if it was a 3-point game, but when the outcome was already decided, he could care less about that stat. Like, that doesn't mean anything. It's just something fun for us to talk about.
One of the things I've mentioned a couple times is, you know, the shooting. There's only been, seems like, two guys that are having good nights, and it's everybody else that's struggling. Tonight, Miller Kopp is the guy that stepped up big time, taking 12 shots. He hit 8 of them, 5 of 9 behind the arc, 21 points. So he carried the bucket, the scoring load tonight. Trey Jackson Davis, 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting. They really shut him down the first half. He did have 10 rebounds. He ends up still winding up with a double-double somehow. But the Galloway, Thompson, Geronimo, Bates, and Xavier Johnson, they hit 3 shots. I haven't had any mad at this up, but that's 22-7. That's like, I think, 3 out of 30. 10%? Holy cow. You're not gonna win a game. You're not gonna win any games when you've got 5 guys shooting 5 out of 7 shooting 10%.
Yeah. Here's Jalen is obviously a very important player. He's not this important, like, he's extremely important, but when you get 0 points and 0 made field goals, obviously, out of Race Thompson and Trey Galloway, you're going to struggle to win. Like, you're going to need some really impressive performances from other people. And you got one from Miller Kopp, but unfortunately, there just wasn't one from anyone else. And yeah, Trace had a double-double, but that's the hardest earned double-double, you know, an All-American candidate's ever had. Like, he just never was confident. He missed a lot of shots in the first half. He doesn't usually miss. Everyone on Indiana did except for Miller Kopp. And that's just, you know, Indiana shoots 17 for 56 for the game. And Miller Kopp made 8 field goals. So there's only 9 other made field goals amongst every other player on the team. And that's a difficult stat. And that's what we have to win.
Alan says Indiana didn't show much sense of urgency, and that is something that I heard Robbie Hummel echo a lot on the broadcast. And it was more based towards Race Thompson, I think, at times, that he's, I almost want to say, just seemed disinterested in the game.
Yeah.
It just was there going through the motions, it seemed.
One of the descriptions of Race Thompson over his career is he's kind of a stoic. You know, he's stoic. He doesn't have a ton of facial reactions and doesn't scream and yell and doesn't do it. Like, he's pretty reserved for the most part for his entire career. So when you're not playing well, that looks like you're not very good. It looks like you're not trying very hard. When you're playing well, if he had a great game tonight, he would have had pretty much the same stoic reactions that he always has. Now, I understand what Robbie Hummel's saying. I don't disagree with him at all. I actually completely agree with him. But Indiana, you know, it was almost one of those situations where it seemed like the harder they tried, the worse things went. And I think their version of the harder it tried was speeding things up. And that's the opposite thing that you need to do on the road. On the road in those scenarios, you need to be able to put the ball on your hip, stand there for a second, everybody take a breath, get in your position, and then boom, go run your offense. And they never were able to do that. And credit Rutgers, like that's what Rutgers was trying to do. That comment, X is too emotional. Like, he is emotional for sure, and too emotional. I don't know that that's he got frustrated. Trace got frustrated. I mean, they all got frustrated. You can see that timeout that Xavier called towards the end of the game, which was their
that
last
was,
timeout.
I'm glad that you brought
described,
that up.
That described the whole game. You know, that was before I punch somebody in the mouth right now, I'm going to
exactly.
Call a timeout and go to the bench because I think that was the second reaction that was going to happen.
He was like,
everyone's been in that position. I guarantee
you, what was going through his head, man, I'm about to kill somebody up in here.
Yeah, I'm going to smash this ball off of somebody's face.
Oh,
or
my
I'm
going to
call our last time out and go regroup because I know I can't do that. And so that was kind of the, you know, that summed up the whole game. Like, that's really what it was like.
There were more bad calls, but you can't blame that on what Indiana did today. I will say the one call specifically on Trace Jackson Davis
on the layup,
that when one of the play-by-play guys says, well, the referee was kind of blocked. I was like, blocks ass. The ball is in his hands. He's going up and all of a sudden he throws it to the ground. I'm like, do you think he does it on purpose? Is that a natural movement? No, it's not.
Here's what's crazy about that is, one, you got an All-American candidate that's on the break. They almost always get the calls. And secondly, that's not just a normal move that someone does. Like, obviously, there was some contact. The officials almost always err on the side of calling it versus not calling it.
Yes.
And honestly, That was a big difference in the game. It really was. I think it was an 8 or 10 point game at that point.
And that could have been a 3 point play. We could have, should have, would have. But I remember thinking that was a critical point, just like you just said, because there was plenty of time at that juncture. And if they get that 3 point play, it's a different ball game mentally, especially for Indiana.
Yeah, and think of it this way, like. Honestly, Trace, even though he wasn't playing that great, had kept his composure really well up to that point. From that point on, pretty much everything he did was in frustration. His fouls, he missed a little shot inside. Like, everything at that point was, you know, him being more frustrated than we normally see him. And so, you know, obviously, Jim, we're sitting here talking about all the negatives. I'm checking myself over and over again to go back and say, you lost a Big Ten road game against a place that everyone will tell you is hard to play. But I'm gonna say this, and I firmly believe this. Where they played this game tonight had nothing to do with them losing. They got out tough. And I think, other than, you know, coaches don't like for someone else to say their team got out tough. They don't mind saying it, but they don't like for somebody else to say it. So other than the fact that it would be offensive for someone else to say that about your team, I think all of the coaching staff would say, we got out physical and we got out tough. And
how does Indiana, and I agree with you 1,000%, but how does Indiana get out physical with Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson, two veteran, big, accomplished guys in there? And they both did. And Race Thompson was the same. He was just no impact on this game. What, he didn't score a point, and
yeah, he's 0 for 4. Yeah. Shot three threes. The shooting three threes, which I You know this, Jim. I am an advocate, even though his percentage isn't good, I'm an advocate of Race Thompson shooting three-pointers because it stretches the floor. It stretches the floor. But when 75% of his shots were three-pointers in this game, that tells you alone he was kind of taking the easy way out. Because that's not – if he's 3-for-4, it's a different story. You know, you're heat-checking it at that point. But when you haven't made any and you're still shooting them, that's just not his game. That's not normal for him. And that's where I'll say they took us out of our game. Like, you know, you mentioned it repeatedly, but the points in the paint says it all. I mean, that's just the way, that's what it was. Like, Indiana couldn't get in the paint. And when they did and got normal shots, they didn't make them. The shots that usually go in.
One of the things I saw early on was Rutgers, they kept Trace Jackson Davis away from the rim. They had him 8 feet out, and then he was trying to start from too far out. And that's where I'm like, ooh, no one has done that. And I'm not he's been able to get his start much closer inside instead of today. And that was very effective.
Well, if you would have said to anyone, you know, an analyst or anyone that Indiana was going to get Amore in foul trouble in the first 4 minutes of the first half, I think everyone would have told you Indiana was going to dominate this game. I mean, that guy is difficult to play against. And when he got his second foul real early into the first half, like, you just figured Indiana was going to overpower them on the inside. And it never happened. It never materialized that way. And Indiana just, I mean, the shots didn't go down. This was a stat I looked at early on, and it ended up, I don't think it was a lot different than this, but Jim, between our starting five, we had 12 turnovers, 4 from Trace, 6 from Xavier, and 2 from Race. That's how many years play do those players have? I mean, that's almost 20 years. That's over 15 years of time in a university that's having 12 turnovers in a game like this. That's tough to come back from.
Ooh, that's a tough stat right there too. Race Thompson only hitting 2 threes this season. So, you know, but does it really stretch the floor now when everyone knows that he sucks at 3-point shooting?
No, it doesn't.
Because I'm not going to guard him anymore. I'm like, going, if he goes out there, I'm like, the hell with him. He can have that shot.
And here's – until he has a game where he makes 2, if I was the coach, until he made 3 in a row, I swear to you, I wouldn't come within 10 feet of him if he was at the 3-point line. And that is what – yes, that comment is exactly right, because he's not – no one's guarding him. It's not opening up the floor. I mean, you're 100% correct. It's not opening up the floor because they're laying off of him. It's actually clogging the middle up. So – I think that's why, he played 17 minutes in the game. I think that's why he played 17 minutes in the game, because he was only clogging things up. Now, the bad part was Malik came in and he didn't have a Malik-type game. You know, he wasn't making little shots inside. He was picking up frustrating fouls. You know, no one played well except for Miller Kopp. It's really simple.
Colin, no, I do not believe that Jordan should start over Race. I'll let Todd answer, but Jordan is good coming off the bench. And, if you replaced him with anybody, it would probably be Malik Renew, but, that's not going to happen either.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm the first one that says they didn't play well. Race didn't play well. Trace didn't play well. Obviously Xavier didn't play well. Like, no one really played well except for Miller Kopp. But I still wouldn't change anything up. Like, they have played well. If you take the whole body of work for the season, these guys have played well together. And look at the big picture. I don't think anyone that makes a comment on here expected Indiana to go undefeated this year. I certainly didn't. And so look at it from the big picture perspective. Yeah, it sucks tonight. And it's not going to be that much better next Wednesday because they're going to play a team they should kill. In Nebraska, but we'll find out, you know, the follow that Friday or Saturday when they play against Arizona. Like, how they bounce back from that will be determined at that point.
Not having Jalen Hutchifino tonight, obviously, he did not play in this game, had a back injury, had back spasms before the game. He tried to go, had a deal on him, medical device on him during warm-ups even, but was not able to go. So he did not play tonight. Obviously, that puts more pressure on Xavier. He has to handle the ball a lot more. You got Trey Galloway that came in, but not as prodigious at this as obviously
Trey's not a point. Trey's not a point.
So right. that obviously that created some issues for Indiana as well.
Because sure.
Jalen Hutchifino, even if he doesn't hit the shot, he's got a shot that has to be respected and playmaking abilities in addition to his passing.
Yeah, and you know, Indiana finishes the game. Wow, I didn't realize that. With 14 turnovers, I just mentioned 12 of those were from your three veteran starters. But that number would have been lower, but it's not even really the number. 14 is not atrocious, but the whole game would have been played differently. I think you go back to the North Carolina game and Jay Billis's description of Jalen was, I think, the best one that you can use to analyze him, because his stats have not been terrific. They've been good for a freshman, but not like, you know, a lottery pick you would expect. He's not scoring 30 all the time, but you can't speed him up and you don't rattle him. And that would have been huge against this pressure from, I think he might have even, you know, he might have been the leading scorer in the game. Like he might have, you know, driven the ball to the basket very under control. And yes, not having him in this game this was probably the one game you would have loved to have had him at, even though he saved us at the beginning of the North Carolina game. Overall, this is the game where you needed his composure as a freshman more than any.
Jake reminding me early on, rebounding especially, my gosh, Rutgers had offensive rebounds than Indiana had total rebounds. They had, I think it was 13 offensive rebounds at a point, and Indiana had 11 total rebounds at one point.
They had more offensive rebounds than we had. They had more offensive rebounds than we had points for a good portion of the first half.
That is beyond crazy.
Every shot that went up, like I will assure you, I know I love how knowledgeable Indiana fans, basketball fans are, but every shot that went up in the first half scared me to death from the other team, from Rutgers, because I either assumed it was going to go in or they were going to get the rebound. We were not going to secure the rebound. And every time we did, it was a huge sigh of relief. And I just, like, that can't happen. That cannot – you can't win, especially a road game in the Big Ten. If they give up that kind of offensive rebound to Nebraska, they'll get beat. Like, you cannot do that in the Big Ten. You can't give these teams second chances, because I don't know what the number is, and just looking at second chance points won't tell you the whole thing. But I know the importance of some of the second chance points Rutgers got at the beginning of the game. Cause if they didn't have those, Indiana would have had about an 8-point lead 10 minutes into the first half, but instead they were behind because they kept giving up rebounds and 3-pointers to Rutgers. And it's impossible to overcome. Like that's just makes it too difficult.
Bench points for Indiana today. 6. I don't think there's been a point time this season where I could put bench points on just two hands. 6
well,
points. We're used to them getting like 30, 35.
This is a crazy stat, Jim, but first, bench field goals, 2 field goals. But again, you take away, I guess I don't know why I'm surprised, because you take away Miller Kopp and the whole team only made 9 field goals. Think about that. How do you survive? And it's not like, hey, there was a parade to the free throw line, because Indiana only shot 14 free throws for the game. Now, they only made 8 of them, but they only shot 14 for the game. So it's not like there was some gigantic disparity in Indiana making or taking free throws.
Rebounding is, I don't know. You know, the missed shots, you know what? You got to live with it, because it's going to happen. That as they say. Well, I'm just saying, not every game, not game after game. But you know that there's gonna, like I said, I knew, like you said, we knew losses were coming. They're not going to win every game. They're not going to go undefeated.
Right.
Right. I didn't know that they'd lose this game, but I didn't know that they wouldn't lose this game because Rutgers is up way more for this than Indiana is. Rutgers is not playing in Las Vegas against Arizona next
they
week.
They shouldn't be, though. They
But, you know, as a former, you know how it is mentally, how hard it is to keep that noggin straight.
Except for they were saying all the right things. The second the North Carolina game was over, Trace Jackson Davis immediately talking about, I've never beaten Rutgers. I mean, that's what you want him thinking. That's exactly what you want him thinking. That's why it's surprising to me that they got out-toughed. Because they did have something to play for. They had redemption to play for. Geo Baker making those comments on a podcast, man, that pissed me off as a fan. I imagine as a player who had been a part of all those beatings. Like, I for sure would have had a little extra in the tank for that.
You know, unless Race Thompson is hurt and we don't know about it, or he's sick, he did not play with
great.
Any aggression, not great, with any aggression, with any fortitudinal attitude today, I guess you'd say. He got it taken to him, and he backed down. That's what I saw.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to be able to argue with that, and I would love to be able to say those are harsh words, but it's pretty darn accurate. I mean, he has a lot more national credibility than the people he was playing against, and it sure didn't look like it. They looked like they were a million times more athletic and more excited to play in this game than him. So, yeah. I mean,
And I don't want to give and fail to give Miller Kopp his due today, because that doesn't happen very often. But man, without him, this would have been embarrassing. This would have been Wisconsin. I mean, Minnesota, whoever it was that beat y'all by 40.
Record.
I'm talking about back when you were playing
50.
Oh, it was 50.
Yeah, we lost by 50. It was 50.
That's not even possible.
Yeah. Yeah, but you take Miller Kopp out of the game, and these stats are staggering just out of this game.
What does Indiana have to worry about? I mean, now, because they've got to go forward.
Nine for 44. 9 for 44 is the rest of the team.
Yeah, that's Not good. That's 20.
It's over 20%.
That 20?
Yeah. No, it's not.
20.
So moving forward.
I've had this conversation more than once, a couple of times about the games that they had. But I'm like, oh man, if it wasn't for these two guys, we've said that a lot. But then we talked about Indiana having the depth that always makes up for that. This time it didn't happen. But I don't know if that was as much personnel or game plan. What?
Well, here's what I think we could have all predicted. Now, we didn't want it to happen, but we could have predicted going into the game that Malik probably wasn't going to have a gigantic impact in this game because it's his first Big Ten game on the road. And I'm not some person here that's coming up with a crazy, stat here. Like, it's more difficult to play in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's just different. Everyone kind of describes it that way. And so I'm not like making that up on my own. So it's just different. And Malik probably shouldn't have been expected to have a great stat line in this game, but he shouldn't have needed to. Indiana has plenty of depth in guys who have tons of experience in the Big Ten on that roster. So it didn't need to be that way. Like, this is a tough loss. Like, hey, Jim, let's look at it this way. This isn't going to be the last loss that Indiana has this year. And so let's not freak out about it. Every team in the country, no one's gone undefeated since 76. So every team in the country is going to have some setbacks and have times when things are not rolling like they were against North Carolina. Now, it stinks for this to only be a few days after the North Carolina game, because you'd have loved to roll all the way into Arizona and Kansas, feeling great about yourself. But you know, I'll go back to it, Jim, over and over again. The coaching staff will not say that shooting was the problem in this game. They will say they got out toughed. That's just what coaches say. But the bottom line is Rutgers made some very difficult shots and Indiana didn't. Other than Miller Kopp, I can't name another shot that someone made that was an impressive shot. And
they missed a lot of wide open shots.
Yeah. I can name five or six that Rutgers made that were difficult shots that either the Simpson kid made or McConnell, like they were making some difficult shots. Indiana didn't make any. And so I have no reservation whatsoever in saying I don't think Indiana's offense was significantly different in this game versus some of the other games. They just didn't make the shots. And I mean, the coaching staff will never agree with that in a million years because no coaches ever agree with that. They'll harp on the we got out physical and out toughed and out offensive rebounded and everything else. And I'm going to tell you, Indiana still has a chance to win this game if they shoot anywhere near 40 or 50%. I mean, if they shoot 50% in this game, they win by 15.
Defensively, they still hold Rutgers. They only shoot 36% from the field, 28% from behind the three-point line. They only hit 6 of 21 three-point shots. They weren't doing anything either. Indiana had been averaging about 77 points per game, and they only get 48 in this game. That's a substantial drop. Had they been where they normally are, we're not having the same conversation, but they got defensed, and I mean defensed tough. But I'll ask you the same question I asked at the start. Did Indiana give everybody else a blueprint today of how to defend them when they see how someone like Race Thompson reacts, when they force guys? Well, now not having Jalen Hood-Jofino is not under their control, and I think that obviously played a part into it. But I would have assumed that the teams are going to look at this and say, hey, here's something we got to do, guys. Look what happens when you do this to Race Thompson. He shuts down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're definitely going to. Now, part of the difference is, you know, I'm not trying to single out any player in particular, but Nebraska doesn't have the physical bodies to go do that to Race Thompson. Like, they're not going to be able to do it. Does Purdue? Does Illinois? Does Michigan State? Yes, they do have. And so, yeah, they've – I don't think it was any secret, and I think every scouting report at every single locker room in the Big Ten is make Indiana beat you from the outside because you don't want to let Trace Jackson Davis have his way in the lane. And so when Indiana shoots – I don't know what it ended up being tonight. What was it? 25%, 22%. When they shoot that, let's see, 28, so 14. So they, yeah, they shot three? Like, no, all over.
Any oh, 30%.
What did Indiana shoot? Indiana 30%.
Shot 30?
30%
yeah, for the game.
I mean, when you shoot that for the game and you shoot, you know, less 24%. Than or just barely over 50. Barely 50% from three-point – or the free throw line, and you only shoot 14 free throws, every team in the Big Ten would have beat Indiana with that stat line tonight. Every team, including Nebraska, would have beat Indiana with that stat line tonight. Now, does Nebraska have the roster in order to be able to do that? Probably not. But the other teams do. Kansas does. Arizona does.
I agree with you, man. I don't think it's like I said. It's going to happen. It's going to happen again. But I didn't know. I didn't expect it to happen this soon. But one of the Big Ten favorites is going to start the Big Ten season 0-1.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to happen tonight either. Look, this roster for Rutgers is not scary or impressive or super talented, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm simply saying, like, this is not a team that you should be scared of that much. They're not that talented. And they didn't play that well. They just played very physical.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to getting up, because coming up are some good games, and getting back into Assembly Hall will help him, I'm sure. But they're going to have to get toughened up. You'd think it was the freshman that you were concerned of, and it wasn't the freshman that bailed on you tonight. That's a concerning problem.
One of the things that I think that you said that is interesting to think about, I'm just going to flip-flop it around, is, you know, you said, does this give all the other teams the recipe for – but what I will tell you this gives Indiana the things that need to improve. Like, they're going to watch this film. I think they will. Like, I don't know Mike Woodson's coaching style that well, but I know who he played for, and I know what the result would have been in this scenario before. Is you would probably not have watched one single play from the North Carolina game, but you would watch all of these plays repeatedly over and over again, probably starting in about 2 hours when they land back in Bloomington. They'd be watching film tonight. Like, this is
– that was back in the old technology days. They're going to learn a lot. They're probably watching on the plane right now.
Believe me, it would not surprise me, because this is – I lost you for a second.
That's all right. It's another fun night, not for Indiana fans, but for us always. Just to be here is always fun. No losses are fun. It's not one that I have got great angst over. Let them learn from it. Let them dig down and use this, because they've got tough games coming up. If they think this is tough, wait till they get to Fog Allen. This is nothing compared to what that's going to be like, and that crowd, and those guys. So just use it to tough it up and get better, because it's a long, long season. How you respond to these things, that is more telling than anything. How Rice Thompson responds to this performance tonight is going to be more telling than anything. So that's what I'm looking to see. That's fine. Yeah. They gave us a litmus test to look at, and we'll use it to watch.
Yeah, and I think your point that you were saying earlier is this is the recipe for other teams to beat us. Well, this is the recipe for us to go in and fix some of the problems that we have. And, you know, it's one of those terrible games. Every single team has these, it seems like, throughout the years. And so it stinks because it's our first Big Ten game. But maybe it's good because it's our first Big Ten game, because they need to fix some of these things. And they got a lot of time to do it.
Yep, absolutely. For those of you wanting around here, you can go to Southern Stone Restaurant Monday night, 7:05. You can catch Don Fisher and Coach Mike Woodson there. We'll have to get Todd in there some night. You can have catfish bites.
You will not have any problem getting me in there.
or whatever else you like. But they are there for Inside Indiana Men's Basketball. And Terry Morin is on before that for Inside Indiana Women's Basketball. So, and they are having a season. They're still undefeated. They're going to still be in the top 10 next week when the poll comes out. So congratulations to them.
Both teams in the top 10 didn't last long, did it?
No, but that would have been cool. But yeah, looking forward to that. And then, of course, we're back on Monday morning for Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Make sure you tune in then for all of the updates. And everything over the weekend to get you going. And then, of course, we're back for After the Game with Todd Leary on Wednesday. And then next Saturday in Las Vegas. Man, it's time! That would be cool. We need to get him to open the show. It's time. You know, that's Michael Buffer's brother. It is, I think. I'm pretty sure. Let's get ready to rumble. Yeah, I think it is. But big thanks to Todd Leary. Of course, it's his show. So I don't usually thank the main guy. That should be you doing that.
When I opened the show by myself last week and I said my own name, it just didn't sound right. It's just weird.
I know. I hear you, brother. That's why I try to make it easier on you when you're all by your lonesome. But we're looking forward to doing this again, man. We can't thank everybody enough. Thank John, the producer, for keeping us between the white lines as well. Like I said, we're back on Monday to do it all over again. Until then, you guys go out and have yourselves a great rest of your weekend. I'm Jim Coyle for Todd Leary. I'll see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to After the Game with Todd Leary. Make sure to catch Indiana Sports Beat Radio each Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 10:30 live on YouTube or at your leisure by subscribing to Indiana Sports Beat Radio on YouTube. We'll see you next time for another edition of After the Game with Todd Leary.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.